To discuss Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Matos, based on the insights of the Tolna Rebbe. For Pinchas, the Torah tells us that in the fourth year after Bnei Yisrael, the 40th year, after Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, before they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they were in Arvos Moav, Moshe Rabbeinu and Elazar HaKohen were commanded to count the people of Israel, Se'u, Eserosh, Kol Adas, Bnei Yisrael, Ruvain, Bechor Yisrael, Bnei Ruvain, Chanoch, Mishpachas HaChanochi, etc., etc. All this is recorded in the 26th chapter of Sefer Bamidbar. And Rashi, on the Pasuk Mishpachas HaChanochi, quotes the Medrash, Shehayu Ha'umos Mevazen Osam V'yomrim, the nations of the world were humiliating, and they said very disparaging words about the people of Israel, who were claiming a yichus. This one came from this mishpacha, this from that mishpacha. Said the umos ha'olam, ma elu miyachsim shivteihem, miyachsim al shivteihem. That doesn't make any sense. Svurimem shaloshalto amitzrim bimoseihem. Are they fooling themselves into believing for one moment that the Mitzrim didn't have relations with their mothers? In Begufam Hayu Moshlim, if the Mitzrim had control over the people of Israel, their physical, they were enslaved, then Kal v'chomer Nishsol Seihem, how much more so in their wives? Lefichach, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu interceded. Hitel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmo Aleihem, he put his name with a capital H, into the names of the families. Hey Mitzad Zeh, Yud Mitzad Zeh. In other words, instead of Chanoch, it's Ha, with a hey, Chanochi with the yud at the end, yud ke, lomar to testify, meyadani aleihem shehem bnei avoseihem. I, the Almighty God, testify that these are the children of their fathers. And this is what David HaMelech said, and he declared, shiftei yud ke ka edus li Yisrael. The shvatim and the families with the yud ke that's added, the hey at the beginning of the word, the hey yud at the end, that testifies to the pure lineage of Bnei Yisrael. Hashem hazeh meyad aleihem l'shivteihem, l'fichach b'kulam k'siv ha'chanochi, ha'palu'i, aval b'yimne lo hutzach lo mishpachas ha'yimni, l'fish Hashem kavua bo yud b'rosh ve'hei b'sof. One of the mishpachos has a yud and a hey in it, that's mishpachas yimne, there's no need to add another yud hey. That's the Medrash that Rashi quotes, and we'd like to understand what is the goal, the objective, the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu writing in the Torah the Hey and the Yud to testify about the pure, unadulterated Yichus, the lineage and the ancestry of Klal Yisrael. After all, the Goyim don't believe in the Torah. This testimony on behalf of God is not going to prevent them from humiliating the people. We know that the people who want to humiliate us and downgrade us will do so, whatever we write in the Torah. The Torah doesn't budge them. In fact, even history doesn't really move them. We have enemies today who deny the Holocaust. For us, we don't need any proof. Am Yisrael, the people of Israel, know on a constant basis that the mishpacha, the family purity, is something that has been observed meticulously to the greatest extent possible throughout its history. And already in Parshas Emor, Rashi quotes the Medrash. At the end of Parshas Emor, it says, V'shem imo shlomit bas divri lemate don. Rashi says, Shvachan shal Yisrael, shepirsim ha'kosev lezu. As if to say, only this woman, who came from Shevet Dan, had a relationship outside the Jewish nation. He levado hoisa zona. And that was the only exceptional case. But people of Israel knew very well their yichus. They recognized the fact that there was no adulteration of added blood and genetics from other nations. Our modesty and our dedication to purity and to be shomer all the mitzvahs of morality to its nth degree was well known, was well established. There's no pagam in Klal Yisrael. So therefore, what is the purpose of this edu, says Rashi, calls this testimony? If God is testifying to the nations of the world, they'll laugh at it anyway. What is the meaning of the Torah? And If, on the other hand, it's for Klal Yisrael, it doesn't seem to be necessary at all. Furthermore, the Chassam Sofer, and also you find something similar in Sfas Emes, they write that Klal Yisrael was already counted in the first, after the first year ended, the beginning of the second year, we saw that at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe b'shana shenis l'tzeisam eretz v'tzrayim lemar se'u es rosh kol hadas b'nei Yisrael. There, back in Perek Aleph of Sefer Bamidbar, we don't find that the Torah writes the names of the families with a yud and a hey added. Why here, in the Pkudim of the end of Parshas, of Sefer Bamidbar, do we find the need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to testify to the Yichus of Klal Yisrael? Only in the second counting, before they enter into the land of Israel, but not in the first counting. And in general, we should ask, why is it that we have to answer and respond to those who want to denigrate us, to those who want to speak disparaging words about us and humiliate us? We know the truth. We know that their words that they hurl in our direction are meaningless. It's a bunch of hot air. So there are libels against the Jewish people throughout the history. Why do we have to pay attention to that? Why should we work very hard to respond to them? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel compelled to put His name as the seal for Bnei Yisrael, to exclude the understanding, the false fabrication of libels against Klal Yisrael and the nation of Israel? Let the peoples of the world think whatever they want to think. Does it bother us? We know that they fabricate all sorts of lies against us. And truth be told, that in a very real sense, we behave this way in all our down-to-earth mundane experiences. Imagine the following scenario. You know what? There's a beautiful painting. If a person would say, you know what, I don't appreciate this painting. But that person is looking at one of the great masterpieces. He doesn't know anything about art. He never studied art. And he thinks that he can make a comment that this painting has no great talent that went into it. It's just what we call in Hebrew a kishkush. Kishkush means a couple of squiggles. Now, let's say the artist was here in front of us. Does he have to respond to this imbecile who knows nothing, knows no beans about art? He knows that he can sell his art on the market and bring in great assets. He understands that he's considered a master's, one of the masters. He doesn't have to pay any attention to these comments. And yet here, with regard to the edus that Hashem added to the mishpachos, the yud and the hay, it seems that there's a different hanoga, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was working very hard in order to destroy and undermine the allegations of those who try to embarrass, humiliate, and malign us. Why? Who cares about these maligners? I want to study a Gemara in Ksubas Chaf Beis based on a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, "Haser mimcha kshus peh v'lazus v'asayim archeik mimcha." And based on this Gemara, based on this pasuk, Gemara establishes that a witness who testifies about an aguna, that he knows that her husband died, is not allowed to swing around and marry her, because people will suspect him that maybe he never really saw that her husband died. He's just testifying in order to permit her and allow him to marry her. He has clear-cut negius. And he has to worry, says the Gemara, about what's called in the pasuk in Mishlei, lazus svasayim. People who are maligning him, they're suspecting him, they're casting all sorts of aspersions upon him. And therefore the Torah says, v'yisem nekiyah me'ashemu mi'Yisrael. And we had a long discussion about this about a week ago, but the bottom line is that Chazal derived many halachas from this principle, that a person has to be very clear, careful, that the people don't speak against him evil. And once again, we ask the question, who cares? Why should I have to pay attention if these people out there are saying stupid things? I know for sure it's not true, and I'm okay. The Gemara Bava Kama tells us, "Minah milsa dim rabbona chavercha karicha chamra ochif lagabecha mosh." in a very eloquent statement about Anova, about the Midah of humility, the Gemara says that your friend calls you a donkey. We have a different word for it in pig Latin, but we won't say it, is then you should put a saddle on top of your back. What does that mean? You should accept what he says? Put a saddle on your back? It really means is, don't discount what he said. Don't say to yourself, what do I care what my friend says about me? I know I'm not, he's calling me bad names. I could also call him bad names, give him all sorts of kinuye gnai. No, when it comes to your world, as a spiritual world, listen carefully to what he's saying. He may be exaggerating, but there may be a hidden message in what he's saying. A person's behavior is a very fragile entity. It could very well be that Hashem, the higher worlds, are sending me messages through the mouth of this person, and I should take this to heart. Rashi says, Klomar hoda l'dvarov v'alta nehu, accept it for what it is, and don't respond to him. Again, this is a very high madrega to ask of a person. But the Gemara derives this from Hagar. When Hagar responds to the Malach and says, "Mibnei sarai gvirti anochi borachas," in Bereishis Tezayin, what does it mean, anochi borachas? She's already run away, and she's already fled from Sarah. Sarah is no longer her mistress, her master. So what does it mean when she says, "Mipnei sarai gvirti anochi borachas"? And according to the Gemara, what this means is that even though Sarah is no longer in the picture, but the Malach called her Hagar Shivchas Sarai. You are identified as Hagar, the maidservant of Sarai. And since the Malach called her that way, that's the way she called herself. We see here again a tremendous relationship a tremendous emphasis of attitude towards something which is absolutely absurd. People are saying things about us, and yet there's a message. We take it seriously. Or calls herself Mipnei Sarai Gvirti Anochi Barachas. Why Sarai Gvirti? Because Hagar is Shivchas Sarai. That's what the Malach called her. We find in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Kuv Zayin, Lama Lema David Dome L'Sochrei Kusi. Amar David L'Sanei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shkios Miyovin, Amalei Shaviki Lecha, Uministros Nakeni Shaviki Lecha, Gam Mizedim Chasoch Avdecha Shaviki Lecha, Aliyim Shalubi Oz Esam, Dolishto Beirabonon Shaviki Lecha, Vini Kesim Peshara Shalo Yichtov Sirchuni. Rashi in his commentary on Tilim Yud Tes explains, why is David called Socher Kusi? Says Rashi, Amru Chachamim Lama David Doma Lekusi. What's the similarity between David and a Kusi? Kusi is Mechazal HaPsochim. Ma'arimim B'Dover Yosim Mikol Adam. Tnu Lana Mayim Lishtos. Dover Shein Bo Chisorin Kis. Mishashos Omar. Yeshkan. Batzal Katan. Mishanos Lomer. Yesh Batzal Volo Melach. Bisharaslo Tnuli Ma'at Lechem, Shalazikani Abatzal, Kachamer Dov Bitchila al Ashgogos, Viakach al Zdonos, Viakach al Hamiradim. There's an unbelievable statement here, the way Rashi interprets this Gemara in Sanhedrin. You know, you have this paradigm of a socher kusi. He knows how to sort of suck you into it. You know, first he tells you, you know what, give me a little bit of water to drink. You know, he knows that you're not going to be so stingy because water is free. After he drinks, he says, you know what, I need a small onion. And after he gives you a small onion, he says, I need salt. And after you give him the salt and the onion, he says, give me a piece of bread because I can't eat the onion without bread. The bread, the onion's too sharp. So David HaMelech also begins by asking Hashem, save me, or I should say, atone for my shkogos, for my inadvertent, unintentional sins. And then he asks for his donos, for his intentional sins. Till finally he says to him, even for my rebellions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mochel doven on the shkogos, and on the nistaros and his donos. So why does David then, in this Medrash, go one step further? And he says, and we quote the Medrash one more time,